This is Dak Prescott, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show. I am Rob Motti with my beautiful wife, Remy. Great to be with you on 97.5, the Fanatic Philadelphia, 97.9 ESPN Radio, Tallahassee Sports Monster, and 107.5 Alive. We have a special show as we head into Thanksgiving week. I love Thanksgiving.
You like? I love, love, love Thanksgiving.
I know you love Thanksgiving, yeah. And you love to cook.
No,
but
I
you
love
don't
to
love
eat.
To cook for Thanksgiving.
I love to eat on Thanksgiving.
Like, you like to cook 364 days a year. Thanksgiving,
yes.
You want no part of it.
I don't. Two days
What's
out of the year,
that?
Christmas and Thanksgiving. I cook Christmas Eve, but Christmas Day and Thanksgiving Day, absolutely not. I don't
you like to be a
cook.
Guest.
I like to be a guest. I like to look good. I like to dress up, look good, put heels on, and sit down and have a nice meal that someone else cooked.
Well,
so that's me.
Being that you cook so well the other 363
days. I need a break.
I'll give you, it's all good. We did host Thanksgiving our first
one
year
time,
in a new house.
Dude.
That was a colossal undertaking for a couple.
No, it was a great success.
Yeah, but it was a lot of work.
I mean, my turkey was amazing and juicy and delicious, but I didn't want to do it again. I was like, that's it, once I'm done.
Yeah, I love turkey. More than once, too. I like it all throughout the year. You just like, have it on.
I'm once a year.
Mix it in a little bit. You can mix it in a little bit.
The thing is, it takes a long time to cook,
it
though.
It does. That's the problem.
It's a beast.
Well, we have a special show as we're heading into Thanksgiving week, and our guest is going to be Carson Palmer, who played quarterback for 15 seasons for the Bengals, the Raiders, and the Cardinals. He'll be on the show. Carson's involved in a really awesome project. He's partnered with Compassion International on an initiative. And it's called Fill the Stadium. And Nick Foles and other athletes are involved also. The goal is to help 70,000 children who are living in poverty. And the idea is to ask fans who would be ordinarily spending about $500 for a family of four to go to a football game. The actual stat, because this is the stat, it's $541 on average for a family of four if you buy tickets. You pay for parking, beverages, hot dogs, and a program. Now, I have been...
That's $500?
$541.
Seriously?
That's the average. Now, you don't go to games.
What?
I'm blessed to work in the media, so I'm so far removed from this. The number blew my mind. I'm like,
that is
wow.
Mind-blowing.
$541 for a family of four. So,
whoa.
If you're... You got season tickets, and it's 10 games, and this is football, and each sport is different. But, wow, that's a lot of money. But now, though, because of COVID-19, fans aren't spending that money to go to games. Most stadiums are empty, and that's where they have the idea to fill the stadium. And instead of spending it on a game, an awesome way to use that money, that single game money, would be to donate $500 to help one of these needy children around the world. And as staggering as that $541 stat was for a family of four to go to a football game, listen to this. $500 donation provides a year's worth of essential food to one of these children who is living in crisis and their family. And it also provides nutritional supplements, hygiene essentials, and medical screenings for COVID-19. All that for like one donation of $500. It's incredible.
That's incredible.
So you can check it out at fillthestadium.com. And of course, there's other options other than $500. So really check that out. It's an amazing cause. It's called Fill the Stadium, fillthestadium.com. Carson Palmer will talk about it later on in the show, and you'll hear his thoughts on that, and as well as his thoughts on some of the quarterbacks in the NFL right now and a football conversation too as well. But I want to read one of my favorite Bible passages, because as we talk about giving and Thanksgiving, this one always comes to mind, and it's Jesus speaking in Matthew 25. This is the whole, it resonates with me all the time. When I see a homeless person, when I see anyone in need, this always resonates with me. And Jesus says here, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these of my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. Then the king will turn to those on the left and say, away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison and you didn't visit me. Then they will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you? And he will answer, I tell you the truth, when you refused to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me, and they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. That's such a powerful passage, and I think about that every time as I'm driving over the bridge and I come down, you know where it is in Philly, and there's always... Mm-hmm. Someone there asking for money and whether I have food or I have change. You know what happens too often? I go to take out my wallet and I find that there's nothing in there because someone sitting at this table raids my wallet and takes the cash for whatever reason. This has happened.
I'm too lazy to go in an ATM machine.
Yes.
And you're the ATM machine.
This actually has happened, and thankfully I had a couple protein bars and a sandwich, and I gave food because I had rolled down the window. I'm like, oh, shoot, I got nothing in my wallet. My wife must have taken it already.
Yep. Yes, sir.
But as I think about this and I think about Thanksgiving, I love this time of year. I love this time of year. I know you hate the weather, and I'm not particularly fond of the weather up north.
I absolutely hate it.
But I love this time of year, and Thanksgiving for me, and you already got your Christmas decorations up. You did a great job in the house. It looks beautiful.
Thanks.
So we got it before, and I think more and more people are starting to put up their Christmas stuff before it even gets to Thanksgiving.
I've always started this time of
year.
You've
been doing it.
I've been doing this.
And so what? Enjoy it. It's beautiful.
I love it.
I think they blend into each other.
Yeah.
And it's just a wonderful time to enjoy. But for me, Thanksgiving starts with thanking God for everything. Every blessing we have.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's giving. Like, I divide the word. Give thanks and then give. And giving, you know, of course, being thankful is a daily thing, right? Every
Absolutely.
Morning, every night, all day long. But giving is special. It's a special thing. And I feel like giving also has to be just like, you know, giving thanks mm-hmm. is part of our daily process, part of our daily lives.
Mm-hmm.
Giving. Actually, giving should be part of that. And I want to incorporate it. I'm asking you to challenge me to incorporate giving more into my daily life. And it doesn't mean like you have to be like George Clooney. Did you see this story?
I did. I didn't necessarily follow the whole thing, but what did he donate? $14 million or give someone?
No, it wasn't donate. He just said he wanted to give something to his closest friends. I don't know the reason why, but he gave 14 of his closest friends.
He said they were there for him.
They were there for him?
Oh, yeah.
So he gave them each $1 million.
Yeah, while he had nothing, they were there for him. And,
Which is really cool.
I want to be his friend. No.
But when we're thinking about giving, though, like it doesn't always have to be money, right?
Right.
We don't have
to
think about it. The first thought, the first inclination is giving and giving money.
Yeah, it scares people.
But when we think of giving... How about giving of our time?
To me, that's actually a lot more, I don't know, it represents a lot more when you give someone your time. Like when you get a phone call randomly from someone when you're not feeling good or, you know, God puts you on somebody's heart and that person actually makes the phone call and takes the time to call you. Like my friend Jennifer does that a lot. Like she's pretty awesome. And Jennifer, if you're listening, you're pretty incredible. Thank you for always calling me at the right time. It's pretty cool. So yeah, that's giving right there. That's giving and giving somebody your time and your in your ear for a second or like a couple minutes, that actually means a lot. That shows that they care. That shows that they thought about you and prayed for you and actually called you. That just means a lot.
Giving of your time is special. It really is special. I know it is because my time is scattered and I'm involved in so many different things. Yeah. And I find like it's easier for me to give my time between March and September when football season is not here.
I love that time.
But football season and each year it seems like I take on more and more. And this year I've taken on quite a bit. So football season is pretty busy and I don't have a lot of time to give. And that's hard. It's hard for me. So sometimes it's easier to just give money than give time. But like in the case of our kids, they don't really care about money. They want my time.
They care about your money to they want toys all day long.
Yeah, but they care more about our time together. And what's been really cute and really fun and special is we've started playing basketball together in the basement.
That is the most fun we've had.
Awesome.
Yeah,
that was just so much and fun. They did a fashion show today, and they did a fashion show and wanted to take daddy on in a 2-on-1 basketball game. And sometimes mommy plays and mommy doesn't know the rules. You don't know how to play basketball. Forget about double dribble. You travel for those who know sports. You know, obviously she carries the ball. She just never dribbles and the kids follow her. So I'm the only one following
it's
the rule.
So much fun.
All the rules, but it's still funny and cute. But they wanted to do a fashion show and then play against daddy all dressed up.
I know.
I'm like, no.
And they're like, you're going to be taken down by two fashionistas. I'm like, are you kidding me?
The coolest, cutest
thing. They're
still
my kids.
And then they went and changed, but changed into a cute outfit so they can play against daddy in basketball. So coming up shortly will be a basketball tournament. But that's giving of our time. Giving of our time to so many different ways, outside the house too. Mm-hmm. Outside within our own family, we can find ways to give time, but outside the house, whether it's to a relative, some of us may have aunts or uncles or someone who's lonely, someone who doesn't have kids, right? Someone who just doesn't have anyone or may live in a neighborhood where it's not easy to get to the grocery store. They may be older or whatever it may be. And if we find the time to give of our time to go and just check up on that person. Now I know with COVID-19, we're not making house calls and visits like that, but you know, you could do a FaceTime, we can do whatever it is, but also run to the store for somebody. That's giving. And then here's another one that I was thinking of that's other than giving of your time and giving of your money, giving appreciation to someone.
I was just going to say, you can call and just say, I'm thankful for you.
Right?
Like, yeah, seriously, because not a lot of people say that anymore.
Yeah. And I found that some cases you can never give appreciation enough because you, my love, have a habit of no matter how many times I tell you during the course of a day, I appreciate you, I love everything you do, thank you so much for this, thank you for cooking dinner, thank you for whatever it is that you're doing, you know, sometimes for being part of this show, for helping the kids, for whatever you never seem to grasp the appreciation. Why is that? Is that a wife thing? Like, I don't know. I got to ask other men out there. Like,
I grasp it. I think it's more of like women do so much. I mean, I know I do so much, but I feel like we thrive on appreciation. So the more you say it, I guess the more we want it. So it's more like one time and done. It's more like I want to hear it every day, all day, because it's kind of like, you can call it my love language, for example. Like, I love being appreciated. It's what makes me feel loved. It's what makes me feel wanted and makes me feel like I'm doing something, you know. So that appreciation goes a long way. Like, everybody has their own thing. It's just me personally. I feel like I need to hear it a lot. And I need to know that people appreciate me. Like it's worth the effort. You know what I mean? Like my cooking, my this, my that, like all the things that I do, like I feel like I want to be appreciated. And when you say it or when the kids say it, I feel like I'm really loved and appreciated. So Maybe that's why you have to kind of repeat yourself a million times.
Quite a bit, right?
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
Don't stop.
And I can understand that because last week, for example, I spent a lot of time covering the NFL, and I spent a lot of time doing various things and stories and work and the podcast. And one thing in particular that was going on, and I had spent a lot of time on it with this podcast, and then I get a note from my boss saying, great job on this week.
Yeah.
I was like, that's great to be really appreciated when you know you spent so much time on it, right?
Yeah.
Or the week when I had to hop on election duty for one day, on a vacation day, where we were in Cape May and had to leave, and I had to go do...
I had a whole day planned,
I know.
A whole day.
But you know what? It was nice. It's been 10 days or 2 weeks. I don't even know how long it's been. But this week, the appreciation was rolling in, like the emails from the boss and then the higher-ups and then the higher-ups. Thank you for doing that, taking time and doing that. And eventually it worked into, it was Pennsylvania. I had to go cover, and it helped play into the calling of the election by the AP, which was like, wow, I was just a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of it. So it's always cool to be appreciated. It's always cool to give appreciation to others. It's always important to give thanks, and giving money, giving whatever we can. Giving is so important. As I look at this and I read through what Jesus said here, it kind of scares me a little bit. I'll be honest. Because as I'm reading this and I go, well, what if I don't do it one time?
No,
right?
It's not.
What if I don't do it
like
two
that.
Times?
No.
And that's exactly where I was going to go. I'm like, but we shouldn't be. It's
not a burden.
It's definitely not a burden. And it's not something to be feared, right?
No.
It's not something to be feared. It's not something to be like, oh my goodness.
Plus, if you're going to do it out of fear, don't do it at all.
Plus,
that's just the wrong motive right
God
there.
God knows our heart, too.
Right, yeah.
And this goes back to the whole idea of, well, you can't earn your way into heaven. So at the end, when you pass on, it's not like I used to think way back, you got a checklist of, well, you did this, you did that, you did this, and you did that. No. So no matter.
No.
We cannot think that we have to give to be earning our way into heaven.
No, I don't see it that way.
It comes out of a servant heart. It comes out of loving others the way Christ loves us.
Yeah, like there's a lot of things that come across my face when I'm like doing social media, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like a lot of things.
You know, you
that
just reminded me of
and,
someone who reached out for help with something. And I'm
right.
Like, wow, I constantly get that.
Yeah, and sometimes like I feel like there's a pull in my heart that I really like something struck me and I really want to help that person, and I do. But some things that I come across and just like I don't, it's just not for me. You know what I mean? Like everybody got a certain like soft spot, and it's for a reason. Like God pulls on our strings different ways. And when you feel that tug, if you're able, help. If you're not able, it's okay. Just pray for the person. You know, your prayers do go a long way and actually motivate someone else to help. So prayers go. If you can't do anything, pray.
Pray.
If you can't do anything, if nothing at all.
If we can't give money, can't give time, can't give appreciation.
Pray for the person. Because that's what I do.
Well,
that's what I do. I mean, I obviously cannot help everybody. I help what I can.
Giving appreciation doesn't cost anything, and it doesn't
and
cost time
for the
even.
Doesn't
like
cost
a text doesn't cost. But you're right. You're right. I want you to expand on that prayer.
Yeah, praying is everything. First of all, it moves mountains.
Yes.
So if something comes across my phone or whatever, and I feel like this is way too much for me right now, I can't do it. I sit there and pray, and actually pray for someone else that can, that steps in and helps, because God uses all of us. It's like a big network for him. And for us, he uses the network in a way that he actually prayers. It's kind of like the call center, you know, and we pray. And when we call on someone else, you know, and he calls on someone else. Like if you can't help, call on someone else, and he will pull on that person's heartstrings and make them help. Because we're just kind of, it's like a team sport, you know, we're all team members and each one can chip in at different times. And if someone is down or someone is hurt, someone else will step
in.
That's
what the kingdom is. It's the body of Christ.
It's the body of Christ. So we just, if I can't today, maybe you can tomorrow and so forth and so like, that's just how it is. So I pray for the person to step in and be like, God, I can't do this today, but maybe someone else can step in and help this person because they really need help. I mean, there's a lot of people, especially this season, where they don't have anything. You know, they don't have anything.
Well, all the jobs lost because of the pandemic.
Right. Can you imagine, like, you know, and I don't want to go like as superficial as like opening a gift on Christmas morning, but it really does makes a kid so happy. Yes, you know what I mean?
It matters to kids.
I grew up with, you know, we don't do that. That's not a tradition. So you guys had a different. We had a different tradition. So in Egypt. I don't know necessarily the meaning of that when you were little, but I see it for my kids and how like it lights up their day and their life.
The whole week leading up, the whole month leading up to it.
We've been talking about Christmas for how long now? Sheesh. Yeah,
although they did find their way into a stash of gifts.
I just bought stuff and they just dove right into it yesterday and they saw everything. And I'm like, come on. So they...
That was because they were sneaking up into your room.
Yep, they sure did.
Not for that reason, they were sneaking up into your room to do makeup.
Yeah. Because, my room, meaning makeup room, by the way. Yeah. We don't have separate rooms, but like, we just have a makeup, an actual room dedicated for
makeup and your clothes. Closet, it's a makeup and.
So people like not. Like, do you think I can live in a different separate room or something?
But it's, your closet room. You had the toys there, and they found it. But no, it's true, and we did that for a few years. Remember when we were raising toys for kids. Whether it was Children's Hospital one year,
it was
the Angels of God Outreach one year. It was always just to make sure certain kids who may not have it have a toy at Christmas time, have a gift at Christmas time. Here's another verse I want to read. This is Hebrews 13:16. It says, "Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." So when we think about our sacrifice and giving, and whatever it may be, and doing good deeds and doing good things, it's pleasing to God, right? It's pleasing to God.
It's not really about the deed. It's more of like your heart position.
Yeah.
Because it's not ever about, to him, he doesn't care exactly what it is you're doing. He just cares that your heart is in the right place when you're doing it and that you want to help. That's all that matters. Like, you want to help someone. It's on your heart to see someone smile today. It's on your heart to see someone eat today. It's on your heart to see a kid open a present in the morning. That's what moves him to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond. You know what I mean? And that's always what I love. I think it's pretty awesome to just see someone else smile from something that you've done.
It really is.
It makes me happy.
Whether it's a compliment to someone, and it's hard now, right, to see people's faces behind these stinking masks. Yeah. You don't see the smiles, but sometimes you can hear it in the voices. But whether it's a compliment, whether it's, as I said earlier, we talked about giving of our time, giving of appreciation, it's just a great thing. And you know, it's not just to do this. We're talking about it during Thanksgiving week, and we this is part of a daily, everyday activity. But Thanksgiving week to me is special. Like, it highlights that.
Right.
You know, when I think of Thanksgiving, the first thing for me, I don't honestly think about the turkey and the food, because you know I'm not a food person. I eat to live. I don't live to eat. So for me, when I think of Thanksgiving, those are the things I think about. Thanks, being thankful for everything. But giving, how can I give? How can I do this? How can I do that?
Yeah.
Here's another Bible verse I want to read. I've just got so many on my mind today.
Yeah,
this
is so many good ones.
In Luke 14:12-14, then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." And this leads me to the thought of giving to those who can do nothing in return for you, right? Yeah. It's easy in this day and age. It's easy in this life. It's easy now to help people who can help you in return. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is not necessarily when it comes to money or time. Maybe it's advice. Maybe it's through work. Maybe right. it's through a student reaching out for an internship. Or shout out to Terry, by the way, who's helped me with some videos. no matter what it may be, it's easy sometimes to help somebody because, you know what, they could take care of me at some point. They can help me out at some point. But no, Jesus here is talking about giving, helping, doing for those who can't do anything for you in return. And I think that really is a very special thing, because how often do we see so many people out there who just need a helping hand, who just need someone to get their foot in the door, who just need any kind of little thing. And then to be a small part of someone else's success, that's a really cool thing too. Yeah. That's a very, very, very cool thing too. So, go ahead.
And I just wanted to say, if somebody's listening and this time of year is tough and you can't be thankful for anything, just try to just look for positives all around you, anything, any little small thing, and just be thankful for that. Because the more you're thankful for something, the more you will find more things to be thankful for.
Amen. Up next, you're going to hear my conversation with former NFL quarterback Carson Palmer. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show with Rob and Remy Mahdi.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at Karen.edu.
Since 1930, the Heritage family has proudly served the communities of South Jersey. From humble roots, Heritage's dairy stores now operate 33 convenient locations. Their desire is to become your convenience store of choice, not just because of their welcoming atmosphere, but because of their fresh quality products. Heritage's milk is still the sweetest. Coffee's hot and fresh, and Heritage's full-service delis offer the best local ingredients prepared and sliced on site, far exceeding the competition. Heritage's Dairy Stores. It's not just our name, it's our heritage.
Did you know creating your legacy documents, will, power of attorney, advanced medical directive, etc. is important because it allows you to have control over how your estate will be distributed upon your passing? You also get to decide who will make decisions, both financial and medical, if you are incapacitated and unable to make them for yourself. It allows a trusted family member or friend to become the decision maker. Without these documents, these types of decisions will be determined by a court based upon state laws that may or may not be in order with your desires and intentions. I have two daughters and realized they could be in trouble if something happened to my wife and I. Thank goodness for Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates, because now Remy and I have our estate planning documents in place to protect our family, which is even more important during these challenging times. Make your appointment with Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates at 856-428-2266. Like I did, to get the peace of mind that estate planning can bring. That's 856-428-2266.
Hey, this is Jerome Bettis, former running back from the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show. Rob Mahdi with Remy. If you're tuning in for the first time on radio, you can go to faithonafieldshow.com and find every episode since we launched in 2017. We've had an awesome lineup of guests, so you can listen anytime at your convenience. You can also find us on Google Play, we're on Stitcher, we're on Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, as well as iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Faith on the Field. If you sign up for our weekly email list, we'll send each episode right to your inbox. Make sure you also follow us on our social media platforms. I'm at Rob Mahdi on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, at Real Rob Mahdi on Instagram, and Remy is at Remy Mahdi on all of her social platforms. We'll let you know about speaking appearances and events that we're doing or hosting. You can go to my YouTube channel and listen to some of my recent messages. You can also find some longer interviews there that I do for my AP Pro Football podcast. We put some of the full interviews on the YouTube as well. Carson Palmer played 15 seasons in the NFL with the Cincinnati Bengals, Oakland Raiders, and Arizona Cardinals. He was the number one overall pick by the Bengals in 2003. He went to three Pro Bowls. He threw for over 46,000 yards in his career, 294 touchdowns. Carson retired after the 2017 season. He's involved right now in a really awesome campaign called Fill the Stadium. Nick Foles is involved in it. Nate Solder, who was on the show before, he's involved also. Steve Stenstrom and other players. The goal is to help 70,000 children who are living in poverty around the world. And the idea is using that 70,000 number, because stadiums are empty now, to ask fans who would be spending about $500 on average for a family of four to go to a football game. But now you're not doing that because of COVID-19. So they're asking if you could donate that $500 to help these needy children around the world. You could check it out at fillthestadium.com. Carson Palmer talks about why he got involved in Fill the Stadium, and also about several other things, including Joe Burrow, the Cincinnati Bengals' number one pick this year, Kyler Murray, Carson Wentz, and other football topics. So check it out. Here's Carson Palmer.
Carson, you were drafted number one overall by Cincinnati, didn't play your entire rookie season, sat and watched John Kitna that year. Joe Burrow was drafted number one overall by the Bengals this year, and he's played right away. Have you watched him play, and what do you think of his performance?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a handful of their games, and I think he's really, really, really good. And I thought he was going to be really good watching him play at LSU. I followed him for quite a while, most of his last college football season at LSU, and I thought he was going to be a good pro, but he's really blown me away and blown away expectations I had for him, because to me, right now, he's playing like a top 10 quarterback in the league, regardless of age and regardless of years of service. I mean, he is playing very maturely. He's throwing the ball really accurately with people in his face. He's getting hit from every angle every time he drops back. He's not throwing the ball into coverage and kind of throwing those balls where you see it in the air and you're like, oh, no, and you kind of hold your breath. He's really played maturely and I think really exceeded my expectations thus far.
Well, another one of your teams, the Arizona Cardinals, they got a really exciting young quarterback, too, and Kyler Murray this weekend in their win against Buffalo with just an unbelievable, tremendous play. DeAndre Hopkins there at the end. Kyler's a little bit, he's got different skills, different talents, such an exciting kid to watch. What do you think of him?
Yeah, he's really coming into his own. This is kind of that year. The year two is where you expect to see a young quarterback makes some mistakes, and he protects the football. He doesn't do anything to put his team in danger. He uses his legs. We're really starting to see him gain confidence with how fast he is and how quick he is running the football. You didn't see a ton of it, I felt like his rookie year, I didn't see him test his legs as much as I wanted. He's really using them now, and he's an absolute dual threat. He can throw the ball accurately down the field. You saw that game-winning Hail Mary rolling out to his left and just heaved it 55 yards in the air right on the money. I mean, it's been really, really surprising how well he's done in just his second year.
As we look around the league and you see some of the guys who are having great years and some of the guys, I want to ask you about one who's struggling in particular, because I'm in Philly and I get to see on a weekly basis Carson Wentz. And there's a lot that I see that's involved in that. There's play calling, there's injuries, there's young receivers, inexperienced, not necessarily running the right routes, the communication issues. When a guy has success like he did and then all of a sudden struggles and there's so much expectation and so much pressure on him, do you think that could be he's got to take a step back? Do you think maybe he puts too much pressure on himself? How much have you seen out of Carson Wentz?
I've seen him play a bunch and they're not a very good football team at the end of the day. I know they just, it seems like they just won a Super Bowl, but that was a couple seasons ago. You've got Alshon Jeffrey, who I don't think he's played yet. DeSean Jackson came back for like four plays and he's gone again. Zach Ertz has been banged up. They've had a carousel of running backs in and out. And I'm just seeing a guy that he's just trying to find a win and he's chucking the ball downfield and, you look back and go, well, he shouldn't have thrown that, but he's just trying to get something going on offense. He doesn't have hardly any help. Their defense has been giving up a ton of points. So, you can sit and look at the stat line, but and say he's struggling and maybe he's a bust. I've heard all the talk, but when you're a quarterback and your top two targets, your X and your Z starting receiver, have not been on the field hardly at all. Your bet, one of your best tight ends in the league, Zach Ertz, has been banged up. They've been a also a carousel up front. I mean, the you know, the from left tackle to right tackle, it just seems like a guy is down every week on the offensive line, and somebody's coming back up from injury and out of shape, and you know, just all the different issues they've had offensively with health. I'm just seeing a quarterback that's down 24-10 and just trying to find something, trying to find somebody to make a play for him. You know, you can sit there and go, well, he threw a pick or he had a fumble. But when you're playing, you know, down and the opposing team has a lead, you've got to do something. You've got to try to squeeze a ball in downfield. You've got to hold the ball for a split second longer in the pocket and try to make something happen. Unfortunately, he's had some fumbles that have happened in those scenarios, but it's either that or he just chucks it out of bounds on third down and punts and they lose by 20. So, I mean, I understand the frustration and the issues that the Philly fans have with Carson. But right now he's just trying to find a win and he's not on a very good football team. I mean, he's getting off the bus every week going, man, walking into the stadium going, man, I got to play my best game ever for us to have a chance to win. And he's going out there and he's trying to make things happen. And unfortunately, they're just bad enough where things haven't gone their way.
I look around and I see Tom Brady still going at 43. Drew Brees is plus 40 and he's still going. You're 40 years old. You've been retired now for a couple seasons. Have you ever thought about like, oh man, I could have still been doing this, or you knew your time was up and you got so many other things that you're involved in?
Yeah, I probably, you know, physically, I could have played one more, maybe two, but I just, my body was tired. My body was hurt. And mentally, I was ready for new challenges and ready for new things. You know, 15 years was, you know, obviously everybody wants a Super Bowl ring, and I don't have one. I don't own one. And I gave it a shot for 15 years. But in my last year, you know, I really started hearing Father Time talk to me, and I had some neck and some back and some elbow issues, and just, you know, I definitely could have gotten another one in. But that would that's what it would have been, is getting one more in. You know, when it came down to it, my family was ready for me to move on. I was tired of missing kids' games and practices and just all the things that come. We've got four kids, and there's a lot of fun and excitement and things that I missed out on.
What is it like watching football now? And for most part, stadiums are empty. If there are any, it's up to 5,000, 6,000 fans. It's different. We're noticing a trend where this year more teams, the road teams entering week 10, had a winning record. And obviously you don't have to deal with crowd noise as a quarterback. You don't have to deal with any of that stuff for the most part. So one, how different is it as a spectator, and how much of an advantage would it be, do you feel, as a quarterback on the road playing against teams where you don't have to deal with that?
It's a massive advantage to go. It's just part of the deal. And both teams have to deal with the elements. But when it comes to crowd noise and communication, it is so vital to be able to get up to the line of scrimmage and change a play or change a snap count, whatever it may be. So that's ineffectively, that's gone, that advantage that a home team has. But just from a fan standpoint, I miss, you know, the crowd, the scan of the crowd with the, you know, the crazy guy with his face painted and, you know, dressed up in Kansas City Chiefs gear, whatever it may be. You miss that as a fan. And I miss seeing that kind of panoramic of a stadium right after a touchdown or right after a big play. So it's been really odd and really weird. And just talking to buddies that are still playing, the first couple weeks are weird and odd, and then you're just used to it.
Carson, Fill the Stadium is an incredible initiative, and it's the goal is to help 70,000 children and their families over the next 12 months. And that's roughly, you know, 70,000 children. That's what you would fill a football stadium with. And they're hoping that people who would spend money to attend a sporting event this year, but you can't because of COVID. And now we're seeing more lockdowns coming, especially here in the Northeast, up in Philly. They're going to know more fans in the stadiums starting this week. And they're hoping that people would give that money towards or try and support at-risk children. Tell me about how you got involved in this and what it means to you to be involved in this initiative.
Well, I got involved originally by reaching out to Steve Stinchcomb, a former NFL player and now the head of PAO, Professional Athletes Outreach. And I just reached out to him, you know, saying, hey, man, I know you have a bunch of kids and you've done some mission work. I want to take my family on a mission trip. And then he had connected me with a gentleman named Ken McKinley, who works for Compassion International. And we had a trip planned. We were, you know, talking about, you know, where we're going to fly into, who's going to pick us up, where we were going to go, what kids we were going to visit. We had adopted, each one of my kids had adopted a child, and we were going to try to go and visit as many of them as we could. And then COVID hit, and obviously put all travel, came to a halt. And so I had just been talking with Ken. I'd been talking with Steve and, a couple other gentlemen came up with this idea of, you know, with COVID, all these stadiums are empty. What if we can virtually put a child from all, a disadvantaged child from all over the planet in a stadium? Because these stadiums are going to be empty, what if we could raise money to fill this stadium with, essentially with kids? And how it works is basically a family of four would spend roughly $500 to go to a Chargers game or a Cardinals game, whatever it may be. When you talk about a husband, a wife, and their two kids going, and hot dogs and Cokes and soft pretzels, whatever it would be. Well, because we're not spending that money as fans going to these games, we can essentially, we can adopt a child for the entire year. And these kids have nothing. These kids don't have food. They don't have shelter. They don't have clothing. So that $500 basically sustains a child for the year. It gives them the food, the shelter. And it also spreads and teaches kids about God and teaches kids the Bible. And so it's a really exciting time. I mean, I know fans aren't in stadiums, but this is a great way we can give back and help people in other countries and kids in other countries that literally have next to nothing. And we can help support them for an entire year.
Carson, well, as you talk about that, I could see the servant heart that you're trying to live out, the heart of Christ that is within you. When did that develop in your life?
Yeah, I grew up in the church. My mom woke us up on Sunday mornings, drug us to church as kids, and, you know, putting on a button-up shirt, tucking our shirt into our khaki slacks and all that. And I fought it tooth and nail all the way up until high school. And I think probably around my sophomore or junior year, I realized really who God was and what God had blessed me with and what God had given me. For so long, you know, I knew who God was, but I didn't have a personal relationship probably until my sophomore, junior year when I started realizing, you know, how fortunate I am and how much God has blessed myself and my family. And from then on, you know, really from that second or third year of high school through college and to this point now, I've just had a burning desire in my heart to have a relationship with God, for my kids to have a relationship with God. For all the things I've been so blessed with and my family's been so blessed with, trying to find different ways to give back and trying to find different ways to show others who God is. And that's why this Fill the Stadium initiative is so cool. It's not just keeping these kids alive. It's not just giving them just enough to scrape by. It's teaching them who God is and showing them what Christ can do in their life. And give them everlasting life in heaven. And so it's a great initiative. Like I said, it does more than just feed these kids and pay for their schooling. It's also teaching them how to have an everlasting life, how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and what the Bible says and what it means.
Man, when I think of that $500 for us, you know, going to a football game, going to any sporting event, but for these kids, you're talking about providing a year's worth of food, nutritional supplements, hygiene, essentials, all of that stuff, COVID-19 medical screenings for some of these kids. It's amazing how sometimes we get to take things for granted and we don't even realize, we don't come to that when we think about this. And I look at it and I go, what did Jesus talk about, you know, in Matthew 25:40, when he talks about whatever you do for the least of my brothers and sisters, you do for me. Like these are those who are struggling, those who are in need, those who can just need a hand right now. And so many of us are lamenting not going to games or whatever it may be. And here are some kids who can use that money. How can people reach out, participate, help? I know it's fillthestadium.com, right? That's where they can go to.
Yeah, fillthestadium.com. Fill the Stadium on Instagram and Twitter. It's the word is out on obviously online, but also on social media platforms like Instagram and Twitter, fill the stadium. You're right. $500 is a lot of money. $500 is it's a lot of money. And $500 is probably what a family of four would spend on a Sunday afternoon. And just realizing that money that we were spending on a Sunday afternoon to take our family to a football game, we can support a child for an entire year. We can feed a child an entire year. So that money goes a long ways. Look online at fillthestadium.com. We've got a couple guys like myself that are going to be putting out some Instagram stories on how we got involved. And I've got a video of myself and my kids adopting a child. If $500 is just out of the question to spend, you can adopt a child for $38 a month, and that $38 sustains a child for a month. So there's a lot of different ways. And some of the guys that are the Nick Foles and a handful of guys that are still playing in the league that are donating a number of seats for kids to sit in the Fill the Stadium initiative. There's a lot of different ways, but we're rolling out some social media announcements. And you can log on online and follow it at fillthestadium.com. And you can also follow our Instagram page, Fill the Stadium.
You mentioned Nick Foles, and I know Nick Foles, Nate Solder, Devin and Jason McCourty are involved. Chris Davis, who plays for the Baltimore Orioles. Have you chatted with any of them about this initiative yet? Are you guys planning to do a Zoom call or anything along the way, text each other, talk about what you're doing?
Yeah, we've done a bunch. There's been a handful of Zoom calls where the lead team and the founding members all jump on calls and just kind of spitball ideas. I did another podcast a couple of days ago with Chris Maragos, a former NFL player. He and Nick have a podcast that I went on. I've done a handful of those. So really it's just, at such an exciting time in the NFL season, we're kind of at that halfway point. We're starting to talk about playoffs. We're starting to talk about all these things. As you just mentioned there in Philly, there's no longer fans allowed at the games in the stadiums. It seems like that's where the country is headed right now, by not letting any of these stadiums be filled with our fans. So this is a great way, a great alternate route to spend that money, as opposed to spending that money on a family fun day of going to a game and sitting in the stadium with your kids. This is a great way. You can, fathers and mothers can jump online with their kids and see, and you can see that, you can pick out kids. My kids picked out kids that they wanted to adopt. My girls wanted to adopt girls off of their names. My boys adopt boys off of what countries they were from. I don't know why, but it was a lot of fun. And it's just a very rewarding feeling knowing that your money is going to help that child get through one more year in an extremely poverty situation.
You mentioned the NFL playoffs as we're heading down into the home stretch and we get towards Thanksgiving and get into December. And now it's going to be, you got the extra team this year and potentially two more, depends, because they expanded if an emergency situation, they don't play the full 16 game schedule. It looks to me, Carson, like the NFC is still wide open. From week to week, you don't know who. It could be Green Bay. It could be New Orleans. It could be Tampa. It could be Seattle. They had a tough loss. Russell Wilson's going through a bad stretch. The Rams had a nice win. Who do you see as the front runner in each conference right now?
Well, we saw Kansas City lose to the Raiders. We've seen these teams. Seattle was on a tear, and they were completely out of it. With a couple losses in a row. Tampa Bay's looked bad a couple times. Don't know what to expect. There is look unbeatable and then get beat by a couple of teams. So it's an odd year. Basically, whoever stays healthy at the stretch, once we get into December and January, if you're healthy and you're one of those handful of teams, you've got a shot, because we're just seeing the injuries start to pile up. We're seeing more and more teams miss practices and miss meetings because of COVID issues. So it's not a runaway year. It's just one of those years. Whoever's healthy at the stretch and has the most playmakers in the field will probably end up as champions.
Carson, man, thank you so much for doing this. I appreciate it. Fill the Stadium is an incredible initiative. I love what you guys are doing, and we'll be sure to share it out to everybody. Let them know.
Thanks for doing that. Thanks for having me on.
That was former NFL quarterback Carson Palmer. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show with Rob and Remy Mahdi.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Karen University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Karen is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Karen is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at karen.edu/visit.
With 33 convenient locations, Heritage's Dairy Stores desire to be your deli of choice. Heritage's full-service delis offer great-tasting products for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The Hera Egg Breakfast Sandwich made with 2 farm fresh eggs, cheese, and choice meat on a fresh Kaiser roll makes your morning simple. Heritage's famous subs are built on freshly baked Lissio rolls and feature Dietz & Watson premium meats and cheeses freshly sliced anytime. Making lunches at home? Try one of our lunchbox specials, which are sure to please. Heritage's Dairy Stores, our family, your hometown deli.
Did you know creating your legacy documents, will, power of attorney, advanced medical directive, etc., is important because it allows you to have control over how your estate will be distributed upon your passing? You also get to decide who will make decisions, both financial and medical, if you are incapacitated and unable to make them for yourself. It allows a trusted family member or friend to become the decision maker. Without these documents, these types of decisions will be determined by a court based upon state laws that may or may not be in order with your desires and intentions. I have 2 daughters and realized they could be in trouble if something happened to my wife and I. Thank goodness for Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates, because now Remy and I have our estate planning documents in place to protect our family, which is even more important during these challenging times. Make your appointment with Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates at 856-428-2266. Like I did, to get the peace of mind that estate planning can bring. That's 856-428-2266.
This is Emmitt Smith. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show. I'm Rob Motti with Remy. I want to take a minute to thank all of our wonderful sponsors. Please check them out on our website, Cairn University, Heritage's Dairy Stores, Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates. We really appreciate our partnership with all of them. So thank you so much. If you'd like to be a sponsor for our show, please reach out to us at team@faithonthefieldshow.com. We have various packages, whether you want to be part of our radio show on 97.5 The Fanatic in Philly, 97.9 ESPN in Tallahassee, or 107.5 Alive. If you want to be part of all 3, or just a podcast, or our social media, we post video clips of our interviews. So there's a variety of ways, a ton of ways that you can partner with us and help Faith on the Field and help us grow the ministry. Our goal is to be on a sports radio station in every state. We're on 2. We're in PA, we're in Florida, and we're coming to a state near you. If you don't have a business to advertise on, but if you just want to help our ministry grow, we now have a donate button on our page at faithonthefieldshow.com. I want to thank Carson Palmer for being our guest this week. Again, check out fillthestadium.com. Big thanks to Doug Horton and Pastor Scott Foreman for all their hard work on Faith on the Field. Thank you to 97.5 The Fanatic Philadelphia, 97.9 ESPN Tallahassee, and 107.5 Alive for airing Faith on the Field show. For Remy, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.